been referencing this report a couple of times, more than a couple of times since I read it maybe a few weeks ago. It was from the CDC, Center for Disease Control. It's a youth risk behavior survey. They do it every 2 years. This one, for me, caught me a little bit by surprise because of these two words in quote. Quotes, seriously considered, unquote. Over 25% of high school students said they, quote, seriously considered suicide at some point in the past 12 months. I mean, that tells us things are going on there. We need to look into that. And so we do that today. It's depression. It's bullying. What is it? Sleeping. Lack of quality time with your friends. I don't know. But let's look into it today and kind of see if we can't find out what they're struggling with and how we can help. We pursue that with some of those professionals who are on the front lines, Reverend Dr. Tim Tharp, member of the Board of Public Education, also Richland County Superintendent of Schools, and then Tobin Novasio, Superintendent of Hardin School Districts, with us here today to help us look into this on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483. Or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. And now here's your host for this Monday morning, Mr. Tom Schultz.
Thank you, Cody. Hope you guys had a good weekend. I know it's tax day today. We do enough talking about taxes, that's for sure. We'll get some information out there as well. I just did mine. I'm one of those latecomers who just waits until the very last minute, so to speak. But they'll be in the mailbox here before midnight tonight. That's all I got to say. But we're going to pick up something different here today outside of what the calendar might say. And you look at, I have mentioned it a couple of times, and I'm not going to waste any more time here. Let's get our guests on board here. We'll ask these questions or why 25% of our high school students are seriously or have seriously considered suicide at some point in the past 12 months. For folks we're welcoming back, you might remember Reverend Dr. Tim Tharp, a member of the Board of Public Education, Richland County Superintendent of Schools. Had him on, this was in January, almost 2 months ago. Dr. Tharp, thanks for being back here to talk about the four-day school week. Really a popular podcast as well. How you been, Tim?
Doing well, yeah. I've got a lot of feedback on that, and I know that the link has been shared around by a lot of folks, and people reached out to me at least on a weekly basis asking for more information. So it was good and it was timely to get that info out to folks. A lot of schools considering it.
Yeah, thank you for that then. And then Tobin Novasio is with us, Superintendent of Hardin School Districts. Got to get to know Tobin when he was doing Lockwood, the superintendent of the new Lockwood school over there, and now over at Hardin as well. Tobin, how are you, sir?
Good, Tom. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, except this is a gut punch to me. I'll go with you first, then. What's your first response when you look at this and this survey data jumps out at me? 25% of high school students said they, quote, seriously considered suicide at some point in the past 12 months. Maybe that doesn't surprise you, Tobin, but what are your thoughts on that initially?
Yeah, Tom, I would tell you that those of us that are in the field that are working with our kids day in and day out, that number is probably not a surprise to us. And, you know, the even more concerning than that number is the fact, like, you know, we talked a little bit before the show, is that really suicide rates are a metric for measuring unaddressed mental health issues for students. So for every one of those kids thinking about suicide, there's probably several other 10, 20 other kids that have unmet mental health needs that haven't gotten to that point of thinking about suicide quite yet.
Yeah. Good response there, really. And that's what we're kind of talking about. Tim, I suppose you share some of those ideas as well.
Oh, certainly. And then looking at the trend lines, that's what's really disconcerting to me. Because on this same report, you see that it's not that just that 25.7% for 23, is that it jumped up 4% from 21.7 from 2 years ago, and we've been on a trajectory upwards since 2011, where our lowest was like 15%, and so it's just continuing to rise. And as Tobin said earlier, you know, that suicide is one data point, but it's those unmet needs. In some of the classes I present, I tell them, I said, you know, suicide is not the problem. It's that when people who are suicidal, they see suicide as the solution to these problems that they can't addressed or they don't know how to address. And so that's the whole point of mental health interventions, is to try to help them identify what are these problems that the suicidal person sees as death being the only escape.
I'll get right into that with you, Tobin Novasio, again, Superintendent Hardin School Districts. Just addressing the problem, it's probably very difficult to get traction on, or I don't know what. How do you address this problem, and does it have its challenges?
Yeah, and before I get into that, Tom, I would also add, you know, if your listeners get nothing else out of this, too, one of the things I want to make sure that we stress is that this isn't a problem that, you know, that data, it's not a problem. This isn't more of a Denver, Seattle, Minneapolis problem. This is a rural problem. Suicide rates for young people, going back to the Journal of American Medical Association pediatric study in 2015, you know, the suicide rates for rural young people were double that of urban people, those same young people in urban regions. So this is something in Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota that we really have to own, and we have to put those protective layers in place. You know, and for us in Hardin, you know, about 85% of our students are Native American. And if you go into the youth risk behavior survey that we're talking about, for every one of those seriously considering suicide, made a suicide plan, or attempted suicide, Native Americans were actually the highest percentage of any of the races or ethnicities reported. So this is absolutely a Montana issue. And so how we've chosen to try to address it is really partnering and making sure that we have those resources available in our community. And I could certainly share all the different resources that we have. Dr. Tharp and myself have worked to try and connect and get hope squads in some of our schools in eastern Montana. That's a peer-led suicide prevention program. But we've got a lot of different things here in place in Hardin that we're trying to get in place. And we really benefited. We are one of 15 school districts nationwide that were chosen to be part of a grant program with the Jed Foundation called the District Comprehensive Approach. And what we're really trying to do is work with those folks to make sure that we have a safety net where there's no cracks, you know, that we have something in place for all of our students and all of our families when they have needs.
I appreciate that. And we want to talk about some of those programs and some of those resources, too. So the Hope Squad, I mean, that's something I think we should talk about. I'm going to go back to Dr. Tim Tharp. Dr. Tharp, is there anything tracking alongside those higher rates of ideation when it comes to suicide?
I think the biggest part of that is just getting people to be able to talk about it and reducing the stigma. And one of the things that I encounter when I present QPR training to students and to teachers is that I believe that this generation coming up right now, graduating from high school, maybe in their early 20s or the late teens, this is possibly our first generation that is comfortable talking about suicide. Their parents aren't comfortable talking about it. The grandparents, absolutely not. It's a taboo topic. You don't talk about it. There's this belief that if you talk about it, you're going to plant the seed and give somebody the idea about suicide. Well, I guarantee you, if a person is suffering these emotions and is struggling, they already have the idea. And by confronting it head on and talking about suicide, you actually reduce the risk of it. And so getting rid of that stigma. And so a lot of it is just getting the community being willing to talk about it. And then Tobin and I are more than happy to share the various programs and different things that we're trying to get into the schools. But in order to do that first, you have to have your community willing to just address the topic and not be able to say the word.
Are we ready, Tobin, to address this topic? More than ready?
I would say yes. I think that some of that stigma is starting to fall away. I can tell you, I've been presenting on this since, you know, even before the pandemic at some national conferences and state conferences. And I remember presenting to, you know, three people in the room, and I can tell you that the last four or five times, it's been a packed room every time. I think that our practitioners are realizing that this is a more and more of a problem, and it's not going to go away. It's not a blip on the screen. And I think our parents and our communities are asking for support on this. One of the things we say a lot, and some of my colleagues that are in this field, mental health is health. You know, we wouldn't talk about avoiding, you know, not you know, having a stigma around somebody having a broken arm or a sprained ankle or a concussion. And so when we have kids that are struggling mentally, we've got to get away from that idea that if we don't talk about it, it'll go away.
You know, and there are things, that I appreciate as well. Toby Novazio, he's superintendent of Hardin School Districts, and also Dr. Tim Tharp, Reverend Dr. Tim Tharp, member of the Board of Public Education, Richland County Superintendent of Schools, and does pastor some congregations in that area as well. So, Tim, I'm going back to this other question. As we see these trends rise of people who, of kids who will consider suicide, is there anything tracking alongside of them? Is it, as we point to some of these possible causes, everybody's looking at how much time you're spending on social media, how much time you're on your phones and things like that. Is that amount tracking higher along with this ideation?
Yes, there's one other trend line on this. One of the other questions that was asked is, have you felt so sad or hopeless for 2 weeks or more in a row that you stopped doing some usual activities? And that hit an all-time high of 42.8%, and that has gone up steadily since 2011 as well. And that is the clinical definition of depression, when you're so sad or feeling such a low state that you stop, that you have that ongoing for 2 weeks in a row. And when we start noticing a change in doing things that you used to like, whether it's reading or biking or exercise or just anything that has changed because of that state of low mood or sadness. And again, we're not clinicians, but that is the clinical definition of what depression is. And so that trend line has climbed pretty parallel and at a high rate as well, along with the suicidal ideations trend line.
Do you have a comment on that, Tobin, about recognizing perhaps depression as the root cause of these things? Maybe we're more readily talking about suicide now because it's an extreme, but maybe we're not. Are we talking about depression at that same rate?
Absolutely. Depression and just teaching kids the appropriate way to handle that stress and going through that. You know, that's one thing I would say. I think we've gotten away from, and I don't even know the right term for it, but, kind of the playground, call your own foul, and being able to work through disagreements in a civilized manner as kids. So often now everything is so managed with our young people that they don't ever learn those skills. The other thing I would say, going back to the idea of the contribution of social media, and there's lawsuits now from various states against some of the social media companies. And there's lots of data out there about that. But I would definitely say that I think that's something we're seeing is the kids being connected on social media contributes to this. And a large part of that, I think, is, everybody pushes out what they want the rest of the world to see on those accounts. And so as somebody whose life is not where I want it to be, if I'm looking out and all my peers have what they're showing as a perfect life and, everything's going the way that they want it, you don't see those struggles that those other people are going through. So that can very much make you feel isolated. The other part I would say is the connectivity, and I try not to use the word bullying as much, but, rude behavior, mean things. I mean, it's much easier to sit behind a keyboard or a cell phone and say things about somebody that you would never say to them in person. And kids will start to take that personal. You might have 100 positive comments, but you might have that one negative will stick with you. And who knows, that might be somebody in, another country, another state. And the other part is, when I was a kid, when I had a bully or somebody I didn't like at school, from Friday afternoon until Sunday, I didn't need to worry about that. But with our kids being connected all the time, they can get that constant negative feedback from that person that they don't get along with as well, too.
Yeah, understood. That's Tobin Novazio, superintendent, Hardin School Districts. Dr. Tim Tharp is with us as well, member of the Board of Public Education and Richland County Superintendent of Schools, among other areas as well. We'll come on back and talk about those two things that, one is drugs. I haven't brought it up yet. Brian Bennett will have information here on headline news about an epidemic of fentanyl showing up in other substances, but Our kids now are dealing with social media. There's some pros and cons there. Let's talk about managing that. And then what kind of role does today's drug culture play in our education system? Back with more in a bit.
The 2024 world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale starts with horse racing. 6 days with Parimutuel wagering May 4th and 5th on Derby Days, coinciding with the Kentucky Derby that'll be shown live in Miles City, Montana. Mother's Day is extra special with moms free to the races and more races added May 17th through the 19th. The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive. For a full schedule and tickets, head online at buckinghorsesale.com.
Studies show medical internists spend as little as 13 minutes with patients, including with those over 65. It's time for healthcare measured in thoroughness rather than speed. And Greater Good Health is here with a new model of senior healthcare. From comprehensive primary and preventative care to understanding chronic illnesses, Greater Good Health connects to your needs at your pace. Serving seniors in Billings, Great Falls, Missoula, and greatergoodhealth.com. Senior Health. For the greater good.
Elections are right around the corner, and with recent changes to many election laws, it's more important than ever to know how, when, and where to vote. That's why AARP created a Montana Election Guide with the most up-to-date information on how to register, where to vote, the rules for early voting, and key voting deadlines. Stay informed so you can make your voice heard. Visit aarp.org/mtvotes. That's aarp.org/mtvotes. Paid for by AARP.
Hi, this is Mark with the Montana Department of Revenue with a message for property owners. Spring is here, and you'll soon be seeing our staff in the field to perform property reviews. It's not necessary to be present, but if you'd like to make an appointment to visit with us, or if you have questions about the appraisal process, visit mtrevenue.gov, contact one of our field offices, or call 444-6900. Thank you from the Montana Department of Revenue.
The current drug epidemic of fentanyl in Montana being mixed with other substances has been compared to the fourth wave of a tsunami. According to the Millennium Health Signal report, just shy of 75% of drug testing for methamphetamine indicates a mixture of fentanyl. Millennium Health is a national laboratory that specializes in drug testing and monitoring illicit drug use. The National College Assessment Network says submissions for the pre-application for federal student aid, or FAFSA, are down nationwide this year compared to 2023. In Montana, as of April 5th, 35% fewer high school seniors than last year have submitted an aid application. Governor Greg Gianforte has solicited applicants for district court judge for Lake and Sanders counties following the resignation of Judge Deborah Kim Christopher, who resigned April 5th after nearly 24 years on the bench. Applicants must receive at least three letters of support to be considered. With Montana News headlines on the Northern News Network, I'm Brian Bennett.
Elections are right around the corner, and with recent changes to many election laws, it's more important than ever to know how, when, and where to vote. That's why AARP created a Montana Election Guide with the most up-to-date information on how to register, where to vote, the rules for early voting, and key voting deadlines. Stay informed so you can make your voice heard. Visit aarp.org/mtvotes. That's aarp.org/mtvotes. Paid for by AARP.
If you're using dyed diesel fuel and driving on Montana's public roads, you may not know this, but you are breaking the law. The small savings you see at the pump could end up costing you up to $5,000 in fines. Dyed diesel fuel is not taxed and is intended for off-road use only. Please, do the right thing. Don't use dyed fuel on Montana's roads. To report violators, you can call 1-888-FUEL-LAW. Thanks for your help. This message brought to you by the Montana Department of Transportation.
Man, those formative years. You know, when you're adulting, you look back and go, man, I wish I was a kid again. But I think there's a lot of challenges nowadays that perhaps some of us in our latter years didn't face in the education system like we do nowadays. And we're hitting on those today as we look at and welcome back. Tom Schultz alongside us from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. You're welcome to call or text with a question here as well, because we're talking about our kids. We're talking about our education system and the health and mental health in particular as well. Dr. Tim Tharp is with us. He is with the Richland County Superintendent of Schools, Board of Public Education as well. A renowned expert, had him on 2 months ago, January, I'm not even doing the math on that. Apologies. It was in January. We talked about the four-day school week. That podcast is up. It's very popular still. And then Toby Novazio is superintendent of Hardin School Districts. I'm going to get into some more of these statistics here, gentlemen, just to get them out. We talked about this, again, is the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. It's done about every 2 years from the Center for Disease Control. This is Montana-specific information as well. And so we noted 25% seriously considered suicide at some point in the past 12 months. There's other things here. 41% of students said they are reporting symptoms of depression. We have hit that a little bit. For the first time, they were asked if they've worked with a mental health provider. And this is good news. 24% of them said that they did. Cigarette use is, generally becoming less widespread, but cigarette use is up over the last 2 years. And 21% over the last 20 years, virtually unchanged, as those kids have reported some substance use of marijuana over the years. Again, it's Dr. Tim Tharp and Tobin Novazio. You guys, as we look at it, mental health is a big part of it. Social media, and then drugs. We got to enter those two things into our conversation here. Dr. Tharp, talk about what social media is doing nowadays, and then when do we get a handle on how not only can we teach the management of it, but when our kids are going to absorb the idea that they have to manage their social media intake.
Well, I think part of it is that you've got teachers in the schools that were not raised with it. You said earlier, you know, sometimes we look back with nostalgia.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back and be a kid again, not if it means growing up in these times. I mean, I'll go back to the 70s and 80s, but certainly don't want to do it today. And I'm grateful my kids are raised, but I tell you, I'm worried for my grandkids as they start to enter school and are in school these days and just looking at what they're facing. Because I think for the most part, we as adults, as long-term educators, don't know exactly what we're supposed to be doing with the social media and how to address it. I mean, us old folks, we might be on Facebook and Twitter, but the kids are doing so many different things and it moves so fast. But that's a world that we just don't understand, and there's so much out there, and we try to shelter the kids from it. And I know schools, there's another wave going across about not having the phones in the classroom, and as good as that might sound, I think it might be more realistic to figure out how to use the phones as a tool and not necessarily try to hide them from it. But just getting used to what's out there on social media and understanding that that's not real. And like you alluded to it earlier, I mean, all the you know, everybody is on Facebook and all the different social medias. People post their best. You see them on vacation. You see the pictures that are all gone through the filters and everything. And very rarely do you see people at their worst, or heck, even people at their normal. And so everybody's trying to reach a bar that is just non-existent and not real. And so it's a fantasy. And you try to be what you believe is successful and at the top in this fantasy world, and it's an impossible bar to reach, which makes sense then that can lead to anxiety and depression and just this continual feeling that you're not worthy enough or you're not good enough.
Tobin, what are we doing in schools now to encourage kids to monitor and manage their own social media use? And do you take phones away? Are they allowed in the classroom? I suppose some of that's still being worked out.
Yeah, Tom. So, you know, a lot of, you know, I was actually a health teacher, you know, 25 years ago, and teaching health now is a completely different ballgame than I think it was that previous generation, like Dr. Tharp referred to. Like you said, a lot of our teachers are not prepared for that, for working around the social media. There's so many different mental, psychological, I guess, things that go into that. You know, those companies are multi-billion dollar companies that are finding ways. They're doing the brain research on how to get our kids basically addicted to their phones and to their specific apps.
Right.
And so, I mean, we're fighting a huge uphill battle. We have tapped into a lot of guest speakers and folks that have that expertise in my years over the time. But it really is a challenge. And I kind of had the same attitude as Dr. Tharp forever, you know, that it's an additional tool. our young people, my children are going to have that cell phone with them the whole rest of their life. It's our job to teach some of that responsibility. But I'll tell you, the last couple of years, I've kind of wavered from that a bit. We still allow them here at Hardin, there's a lot of studies being done about the psychological, kind of the Pavlovian dog response, that when they get that beep, you know, that little adrenaline of getting somebody a like on their comment or a like on their post or somebody responding, and to where it's almost unfair for the children to try to push back on it, you know, to try and avoid that. So it's a huge challenge. I know the schools that have tried to ban them, actually their biggest challenge has been the parents and the parents wanting that constant contact with their children as well too. So it's the $64,000 question right now, or at least one of them that we're trying to deal with.
Well, and I know it takes time when you get a new tool in the toolbox. You don't always know what it's good for and what it's gonna wreck if you use it wrong. So I suppose some of that's going on here. I want to get to drugs a little bit, but I'm not sure we're done with social media. Dr. Tharpe, again, back to the question. What methods are we using to how do you manage? If I'm a kid and I'm 16, and as Tobin had said, I'm getting that beep and I'm programmed to go see what that is because it's something I'm going to miss out on. How do we get deprogrammed from that in a helpful way?
Oh man, I wouldn't be working 7 days a week if I had the answer to that. I mean, because that's the challenge we're facing, is how do you get the noses out of the devices and how to reengage with the world? I mean, I talk to teachers that have kids do a creative writing paper or write and imagine something, and their imagination is in a video game, and that's their world. They create this reality of a video game, and kids watch YouTube videos for hours on end of other kids playing video games. I mean, when I was growing up, I might look over the shoulder of a friend who was playing Pac-Man, but I certainly wouldn't be interested in spending hours and hours on end watching them play Pac-Man. But there's something like what Tobin said, is that brain research and these electronic media companies, they have locked on and they know how to get their hooks into the kids. And I don't understand it. If I want to send a message to someone, I'm going to shoot a text to Tobin. I'm going to say, hey, I'm coming through hard, and where are you going to be there? I mean, I'll just send that in words. Kids will send a weird face picture and a picture of their surroundings or the Snapchat. I don't get that. But somehow these social media companies have figured out how to do that, and so that these kids are just completely hooked on it. I mean, and it is. You want to know how to get it back to the topic of drugs? It's a drug. I mean, it's triggering those endorphins in the brain. It's that dopamine. It's somehow engaging with those kids so that there is an addiction that is as strong as any other chemical.
Well, and it's the world that they live in, and it's the world that we live in as well. And you know, it's we had a hand in creating it. So, we've got to have a hand in trying to manage some of the cons here of social media and then drugs as well. But right now I'm up against a break. We'll come on back and talk a little bit about drugs. But as you noted, you guys, we want to look at the warning signs. We want to help parents out there. There are programs and resources that are being employed. And I know because, I talk to educators. They are helpful. Those youth programs, they win for kids. So we'll talk more about that as we come on back with more. Reverend Dr. Tim Tharpe is with us, member of the Board of Public Education, Richland County Schools Superintendent, and also Tobin Novazio, Superintendent of Hardin School District, here today on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.